Good morning. The time is 9:06, Wednesday morning, August the 7th of 2024. Fair skies, 63 degrees in downtown Wausau at our Bull Falls Studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Should be a terrific hump day Wednesday. We'll have more on the weather as we continue throughout the rest of the program. But this is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to Facebook.com and going to the Bull Falls Radio page and click on for a video stream. You can be part of the show by commenting there or by commenting on our phone and text line. You can call us up or text us. Number one, through the Civic Media app. Just go to the Civic Media app, open it up, go to the Bull Falls Radio page, and then you can either text or call us there. Or if you would just like to call or text by dialing, you can do it at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us by calling or texting. We got a couple of texts in the last hour. Early on in the hour, texter from the 920 area code, and I'm not sure what this means. I'm assuming it was just in response to me talking about Tim Walz, the vice presidential candidate of the Democratic Party, who was introduced in Philadelphia yesterday. Him and the lead of the ticket, Vice President Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, will be in Eau Claire later today. In fact, Todd Alba is in Eau Claire. He'll be broadcasting live his program from noon until 2 here on Bull Falls Radio from Eau Claire. But this texter said, Mr. Potato had one club after another as VP. I have no idea what that means. I'm trying to figure it out. I have no idea.
Must be a reference to something.
I don't know if you're talking about Mr. Potato Head or something. Had Mr. Potato had one club after another as VP. So if you're out there, Mr. 920, if you could explain that to me, because maybe I'm just not bright enough to understand it. I would like to understand it.
Just so we could talk about it more, just could you please elaborate on what that means?
Okay, so that's
not a bad comment. We just don't know what it means.
That's a comment. And also, somebody else from the 715 area code sent us a text. Just a little reminder, early voting is underway now until tomorrow, Thursday. You can vote absentee by dropping off your ballot by Election Day. Contact your city, village, or town hall for time. So that's a good reminder. So again, and of course, next Tuesday is the Election Day itself. It is primary Election Day, August the 13th. So make sure you have your plan, whether it is voting absentee, whether it is voting on Tuesday. Make sure you... if you're not registered, do register. Wisconsin does have same-day registration, so that is good news. But next Tuesday, make sure that you are ready to vote, and then you do vote because it's a vital election. We have primaries out there. We have a Republican primary in the 87th Assembly District between Corey Sillars and Brent Jacobson. We have a Democratic primary in the 7th Congressional District between Kyle Kilborn and Elsa Duranzo. In fact, Elsa Duranzo will be back on this program tomorrow talking about her campaign in the run-up to Election Day. She'll be joining us tomorrow morning on this show.
We also have those two referendum questions that everyone's telling us to vote a no for. And if you don't understand it, it's I gotta make sure I understand because I don't want to give people false information. It was to change the
Constitution, and basically federal dollars that come into the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was it.
And up to now, in emergency situations such as COVID, when the federal government allocated money to the states, the governor was able to then quickly get that money out there. Republicans and conservatives want to change that. They want the legislature to get control of that money, to be able to either get it out or, as they've done in the last year or so, sit on it. And we've seen that where there's been money that's been allocated for PFAS and others that Republicans in the state legislature have just sat on it. And now they want to have the ability to do what they've done here in Wisconsin with that allocated money, to do the same with the federal allocated money. And again, it's just a political ploy. And I don't think that the state constitution should be changed because they don't like the fact that they don't have the governor. If Scott Walker was still the governor, I have very little doubt that Republicans would still be okay with the current system. But because Tony Evers not only beat Scott Walker, but also then beat Tim Michaels, and he's still governor, the Republicans want to be able to take control of that away from Governor Evers. In fact, you go back to when Governor Evers defeated Scott Walker in 2018 during the session right before the governor took office, Republicans in the state legislature took away certain powers from the governor because all of a sudden, instead of having a Republican they like in Scott Walker, they were going to have to deal with a Democrat. So again, it's all just a power play. So no votes on those two questions next Tuesday would be the way to go, in my humble opinion. But whether you vote no or whether you vote yes, whether you vote on the Republican ticket, whether you vote on the Democratic ticket, make sure that you do vote next Tuesday. Or again, as our texter said, early voting now underway until tomorrow. And you can vote absentee by dropping off your ballot by Election Day. Contact city, village, or town hall for times.
Always remember, every vote counts.
It certainly does. Also, if you are looking at our stream right now, I brought in for my office. I have in my office some posters up and some signs up. And one of my signs is, we support community for all.
A good sign.
And I bring it in here to the studio. I brought it in during the news update because I saw a posting yesterday. And I did not listen to the program over on WSAU yesterday with Meg Ellefson. Apparently, she had a guest who still is somebody that's not for community for all. And I don't get it. I don't understand the idea that community for all is somehow a bad thing. Again, that we will be welcoming to everybody, to that we are somehow going to say, nope, you are the one that I'm okay, but you're not. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm going to look at this.
What was the thing that Mr. Johnson was always against? It was diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Yeah. But apparently,
I hate when people are using that as an excuse to like revoke a change. It's like, this is not the problem. You're using this as a scapegoat to avoid talking about the actual problem, which personally is you.
Yesterday morning on Meg Ellefson's WSAU talk radio show, Jennifer Aristad, was on the show.
Okay.
And according to a posting from Christine Salm on Facebook, who apparently was listening to this program, she shared a email that she had sent to Jennifer Aristad. And it says that apparently the community for all signs that are put up here in our community is something that Jennifer Aristad does not appreciate. And so Christine Salm sent a email about this. I'm trying to get the Jennifer Aristad is a supervisor on the Marathon County Board of Supervisors, and the Marathon County Board is a very conservative group, and they are one of the groups that pushed back against the old Community for All. But I wanted to share the email because, again, I did not listen to Meg Ellison's show because she's on right now.
Go ahead.
She said, Christine said, good morning, Jennifer. As a member of Community for All and as a person who designed our CFA signs, I was concerned to hear you mention your displeasure with our signs being displayed in the community on the WSAU radio show this morning, which was yesterday. We continue to be encouraged and excited about the community response to our signs. We often hear people from marginalized groups share that when they see a CFA sign in a yard, they know that home is a safe place for them. Sign requests continue to increase in Marathon County with over 100 more placed in just the last few months. As a county board supervisor, I'm interested to hear why you have a negative view of signs that promote belonging and inclusion. CFA welcomes feedback, and I hope you'll share your concerns with us. And Jennifer, you're also more than welcome to come on this program to explain why you are disturbed by this sign that I have right over my shoulder here. If you're over watching our video stream, I have the sign up here in our studio. So I brought it in from my office. That's where I usually keep it. But I brought it in here to my studio. And I would be curious as well. And if you out there, there's somebody that's disturbed by these signs, I would like to hear from you as well. So let us send us a text, 715-298-9297. Tell me why this is a bad thing. Tell me why a Community for All is something that makes your skin crawl. Why you feel as though that you need to push back on this. The idea that you drive down the road here in central Wisconsin and see a Community for All sign and get disturbed by it. I really want to know. Send me a text on that. I would really be interested. Coming up, after we take a one-minute timeout, we will hear comments from the head football coach at Wausau West High School, Matt Johnson. Yesterday was the first day of practice. We'll hear from the Warrior head man next here on WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is almost 9:21. Wednesday morning, hump day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend. 63 degrees here in downtown Wausau. And these cooler mornings, perfect mornings for football practice. And yesterday in the state of Wisconsin, it was the first day for practice for high school football 11-player teams. So teams all around the area, DC Everest, Wausau East, Marathon, Edgar, Mosinee, any other teams here in the central Wisconsin area, Merrill and all of them, were on the practice field, those 11-player teams. 8-player teams like Newman Catholic, they will start off next week. But yesterday was a beautiful day for practice. In fact, right now I know over at Wausau West, they're on the field for day number 2 of practice. And again, just perfect weather to put on the pads and the helmet. The pads aren't out yet. They kind of roll into it, but still a beautiful day for practice. And after practice yesterday, I went over to Wausau West, was able to talk to the head coach of the Warriors, Matt Johnson. Warriors coming off another successful season a year ago. They were 7-3 overall, lost a heartbreaker 32-31 to Stevens Point in the playoffs, but still optimism as we get set for the start of another new season. And here's a few questions I asked Matt Johnson about the 2024 Wausau West Warriors in the start of practice.
I guess, first of all, it's a wonderful day. Day number one of practice. I guess perfect day weather-wise, got the kids back. What's the feeling coming back to work here?
Relief that the off-season's over. It's a long time between last year and the first day, and you do a lot of planning and a lot of preparing and a lot of, wondering how the kids are going to come out and how to come through the summer and who's going to be here and who's not. And so it's just relief to be here and be back doing the best part of this job, which is being here with the kids every day and working with them and getting ready to play and win football games.
And you've been winning some football games. Obviously, coming back after another solid season, you've had, you know, we've been able to put together some really good seasons at Wausau West. Do you feel like there's that old saying, tradition doesn't graduate? Are you starting to build a little bit of a tradition now that's taken Wausau West to a different level?
Yeah, we're certainly trying to. We're always going to be, reliant on who we have. We can't go out and get new guys. So if we have a couple of great classes together, we're going to win a lot of games. But we feel like the kids that we have, we expect to be back in the playoffs. That's what we've said from day one, which is today. All right, but we want to be back in the playoffs, and once you start winning, you start working like a winner, and you start acting like a winner, and you start believing that you can win. And I think that's kind of what that notion that you said, like tradition doesn't graduate. You believe and you know how to get it done. So this group, while a little bit smaller in numbers, and we can't argue the amount of talent that we lost, but these guys, we have enough of that talent, and I think we have that belief and stuff, and the way, understanding how to get it done. So
I was looking earlier in the week on the Wisconsin Sports website. They had a listing of the top seniors coming into this year, and it reminded me that last year going into this year, as you said, you had a couple in the top 30. This year it is a little different. When you look at the squad going into the preseason, you've actually had some time during the summer to have some time with them, but now starting off your practices before the scrimmage in a week and a half, what is your sense about the talent level of this team? You said maybe not quite at the level as last year, but do you feel like there's still the talent level to continue again this playoff run you've had?
Yeah, I don't know if the talent level's any lower. It's maybe just not quite as wide as it was. Like you mentioned, like the DeAndres and the Wills, those are DeAndre Bournes, Will McCorris, yeah. Those are college level players. We have a lot of guys, Bennett and Marcus and these guys, Mason, Cole, that have played at a high level at the varsity level already, so we have plenty of talent, so to speak. We just, we don't have like the Bryces and the Rays and the Carters, which were kind of the guys that were the flashy names, and like you said, in the top 30 in the WIS sports stuff, but that all means nothing. That all means I appreciate what they do there, but I don't put a lot of stock into where they're ranked and where the kids are ranked. I know that our guys, as I've watched them this summer, can compete at a really high level against everyone around us. So we're excited to see them get their chance.
When the season starts, it's a bit of a different conference this year because you trade a couple of the teams out east for a couple of teams in Eau Claire, along with the traditional Wisconsin Valley Conference squads. You have a new coach over at DC Everest. You got a lot of people back in Stevens Point. You got those little bit of unknowns with Memorial and North and Eau Claire. What's your general take about the conference as we get into 2024?
Yeah, it'll be different. It'll be different for sure. Not traveling east over and seeing the Hortonvilles and the Appletons, that's been a long time since we haven't had that trip on our schedule at least. But I'm excited for the new opportunities over in the Eau Claire area and that Big Rivers. They play great football in the Big Rivers Conference, and I feel like they face a lot of the same dynamics of schools that we have. Eau Claire North and Eau Claire Memorial are two school cities and stuff like that. So I feel like we're playing against teams that there's no excuses that we can't compete with, but also at the same time, they play really great football. So it's just a chance to see how other programs do things and what they do right and what they do well, and just neat challenges to learn new teams. And that's always fun. A little extra work for us to learn the new opponents and stuff, but I'm really looking forward to that challenge.
And I guess finally, this first week and a half before the scrimmage, a week from Friday, you've obviously been through it so much in terms of playing and coaching and head coaching. What are the biggest things over the next, 10 days or so that you want to accomplish when you do face, as you said, to the guys, teams in different colored jerseys?
Well, number one, we want to stay healthy between now and then, and that's always a challenge, balancing you know, working the guys hard and keeping them healthy, and how many reps do they get in the scrimmage? And that's always, I think that's what makes my hair go more gray than anything else, is just figuring out how to navigate that scrimmage without using guys. But we want to get better every day. We want to raise the bar. We don't want to be the same as we were yesterday. So when they come out tomorrow, we want to be better. And I know that's very, coach speak-ish of me, but that's the goal, and I think the kids believe in that. Tomorrow they have to be better than they were today, but just filling guys in different spots and trying guys in different spots and seeing who fits, that's the fun part of this thing. That's the personnel piece, and just trying to find ways that everybody that's out here can find a way to help the Warriors win in 2024.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to 2024, and it's good to be back here on the practice field, see you guys, see yourself, and thanks again for the time. And we're warming you up for the first pregame interview when you had to disappear in a few weeks.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have my media training done for the year yet, so hopefully I did all right, but...
That is the head football coach at Wausau West High School, Matt Johnson. Again, first day of practice yesterday. Moves pretty quickly. Next Friday will be scrimmage. Wausau West will be part of a scrimmage over at Steam Stadium. They'll take on teams Lakeland, I believe, also Stratford and Mosinee. So some good football programs there. A week from Friday for the scrimmage. And then the following Friday, 2 weeks from this Friday, on the 23rd, of August, the trek up to Superior for the season opener, and I'll be up in Superior. We will have live coverage of the Wausau West Warriors all season long here on Bull Falls Radio. So lots to look forward to. And also coming up, we will have the start of the big high school sports show 2 weeks from tonight on August 21st. So a lot again on the plate as we get into another year of high school sports coverage. And again, very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still provides live coverage of high school sports. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Coming up, it is an information update. We'll get you the latest news, weather, and sports. And that will be followed by Christine Daniels, Executive Director of the Good News Project. She'll be joining us in just a few minutes. I'm Chad Holmes. 9:29 is the time. Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is Wednesday morning, 9:34, first Wednesday of the month, and that means that this time we talk about the Good News Project, and
yay!
We're very happy to welcome back into our fair land, after being away in the first Wednesday of last month, the executive director, Christine Daniels. Christine, great to see you again.
You too. Good morning.
Where were you last month?
I was in St. Lucia last month for a math camp that Good News Project was a major sponsor of. And, you know, you and I were just kind of chatting a little bit about their Julian Alfred winning an event in the Olympics, and that being the St. Lucia's very first Olympic medal ever.
And she won it. Boom. I mean,
she was amazing to watch.
I mean, it was. It was amazing. It was a little bit of an upset because the Americans were expected to win. But in that race, I was proud of the Americans, how they handled it. I mean,
yeah.
And the thing is, you're not a loser if you win a silver medal.
Exactly.
I know. But it was such a wonderful story. We were also talking, again, it was wonderful when the Americans win, but it's also wonderful when these countries that don't have all the advantages that we have,
right,
that they work so hard, and it's not just in athletics, but in other areas. And I think you're talking about, again, a small victory, a great victory in terms of getting funding for math in St. Lucia. Again, I find it so wonderful when some of these countries show the ability to raise, to rise.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that you're trying to do.
That is one of the things we're trying to help do. And it was really cool because while we were down there, their government made an announcement that they were putting $250,000 specifically toward math education in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about a country of about 250,000 people. You know, it's a small country. So for them to be able to, you know, have a couple spotlights like this has been really wonderful.
Fantastic. And, yeah. And just going there. And again, we've talked a bit about how it's amazing that this is an organization that's based right here in Wausau, and yet it has a worldwide reach. And for you to be able to kind of go out there and see that worldwide reach has to be something that is incredibly rewarding as well.
It certainly is. And it's really neat watching the country change over time, too. You know, I've been going down there for 24 years and just seeing the technological advances. And, oh, one of the things that really surprised me, everyone's wearing Crocs down there. I was just like, wow, it's like in the last year, like Crocs became a big thing.
Oh, man. Things you notice,
right? I know, right?
And that's great, though. That's also great. Because, again, so much of what, I imagine, even within your job, you go to your desk, you see statistics. It's nice to see the human side,
isn't it? For sure. And I, you know, for me, the culture of our organization is about relationships. Yeah. And I understand the need to measure. But, you know, after we came back from math camp, I reached out to all of the people who had donated specifically for that. And I just said, you know, we didn't do something tangible necessarily. And for a donor, you know, sometimes you don't see that reward for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But in 2 years, I've seen changes. And that's super exciting. And it was unexpected that we would see changes that fast.
That is fantastic. Again, it's the perfect name. That is good news.
Good news. You bet.
Again, we're talking to Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project here on Bow Falls Radio. And, let's turn towards another area, which I think is good news. You actually gave me the introduction to your annual report, and I was reading it, and you're talking about the Capitol campaign as well.
Yeah.
And right at the top of your introduction, and it's something we had talked about previously, because I think anybody would, and especially, you know, you're a big organization, to have an electric bill that... $15.
$15 June.
I mean, yeah. And again, we talked about this, that this has been something that you've been focused on. Is this actually beyond what you were expecting?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we did all of the work, the hard work and all of the planning starting in 2018 with a Capitol campaign. And over time, we realized there were a few tweaks that really needed to be made so that we could... be a leader in the community for change, and especially for sustainability and just being good for the environment. And so some of those changes that we chose to make were adding solar arrays to our roof and going to three-phase electric, going to an electric forklift. And, you know, none of this comes without funding, right? Or heroes that really are heralding our project. So, you know, we got funding for the electric forklift from the Impact 100 Foundation and various key foundations in the community, and individuals and businesses have seen the value in what we do and want to see us propel forward. Mm-hmm. So yeah, June, you know, $15 electric bill, that's just beyond expectations and super exciting for us.
I also liked part of it that it sounded like you, number one, because you come in here and you're very straightforward. I mean, I think you really do come out and you know, when you say something, you know, it's not trying to shade words in any ways. And you say, I've noticed that companies throw the word sustainability around like crazy these days. I find myself digging into what their definition is and how they're actually making strategic moves to create a more sustainable business and culture. I find it fascinating. And basically it is that when you put out something, when you try to do something, it's not just empty rhetoric. Nice. That you, when you put something out there, we talked about it as well, the importance of the folks that actually support the Good News Project, that when you go to them, you're not going to use some buzzwords or just try to, you know, make it sound good so they open up their checkbooks, or back in the day when they had checkbooks.
I still have one.
But when you in the Good News Project think of sustainability, what does it mean?
It means looking forward into the future and making changes now. Reasonable, but purposeful changes. And, you know, our local programs are built around reuse of materials. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very key foundational piece to our organization. You know, with the electronics recycling, it's, you know, we can reuse or recycle 99.6% of what gets collected. This is a good thing for our community. Mm-hmm. And I love our community. I really do. I love being a part of it. I love to see people succeed. I love watching the increased diversity in our community because I think diversity of thought only makes us stronger mm-hmm. if people are open to it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just really love just all of the pieces of that, right? And trying to figure out what good news's place is in our community and in our world, just to make it a better place.
And it seems as though, again, you're always thinking ahead. I mean, you talk about the capital campaign as well, that you are moving forward. It's the number has gone a little bit down, but even beyond that, you're thinking ahead as well. So I guess we'll start with the capital campaign. Obviously, sure. It's still vital, but it's part of still a bigger picture, isn't it?
It is certainly a part of a bigger picture. So it's a $950,000 capital campaign. We have about 240,000 left to go. Mm-hmm. Of that, our next phase is working on our loading dock. So anyone who drives by on Fifth Street can see that it is a deteriorating eyesore in a residential community. And it's also not efficient or very functional for us at this point. Because we have so many trucks in and out of there, the dock has actually sunken. So we've had to add gravel to it to raise the back end of the truck so that our mm-hmm. forklift can go on it. So that needs to be excavated, proper drainage put in, and repoured so that, you know, semi-trucks are at the correct level. Redoing the door so that poor Eric, who's our warehouse manager, trying to load trucks, it's very inefficient because the door is too short. Mm. So what could, you know, normally take him maybe 45 minutes of time, takes him maybe 2 hours of time because of that. So it would increase efficiency. And just bringing items in and out of our dock is going to increase the efficiency of all of our programs, whether it's e-cycle or durable medical equipment that's coming in and out.
And also I read about, you know, as you get closer to getting that number down to zero, mm-hmm. you are thinking ahead.
Oh, my goodness. I have so many exciting things, some of which I cannot share yet, but it's going to come out in the next couple of months. But one thing I can share that I'm really excited about is we actually put plum trees in a couple years back because I am really interested in helping feed our community. Mm. And one of the next ideas that we're, you know, just starting to look at and plan for is a exterior green wall. So imagine a warehouse, you know, in the summertime that's growing ivy on it. I mean, it's good to reduce sound pollution. It's good to reduce emissions. It makes, in general, it makes the city a little cooler because of the green mm-hmm. growing. Right. It'll make the warehouse look cooler, but I want edible and non-edibles on the warehouse. I want this to be a central piece of community where people feel comfortable coming up to us and, you know, eating some food mm-hmm. or, you know, I just want people's needs met. And I feel like being in a leader of Good News Project kind of gives me that avenue to do some of these more creative things.
Another wonderful line that, when again, you sent me this information yesterday when I was looking at it. You see near the end of your introduction of your annual report, you say, our past decisions, our current climate, and our future paths are all linked and interconnected, much like a giant garden. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, I just thought it's a perfect metaphor for what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and it's constantly changing and it never ends.
Yes,
right?
It's absolutely right.
And it has so many different textures and colors too. And I see our donors, our volunteers, our clients, our staff, and our board, all pieces of, you know, the color and the texture that make us what we are.
All right, let's get to the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
Because again, you can't change lives like this organization is doing, not just here, but around the world, without the support of your donors. And again, it's been amazing to see, you know, that number from nearly $1 million now to roughly a quarter of a million.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of support. But for folks out there who want to make a positive difference, and that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better way to feel good about your community and about yourself than to say it. I'm actually changing somebody's life. What do they need to know to be able to do that?
Yeah. So if you want to be a part of changing your community's life through Good News Project, I recommend that you call me or you stop by the facility.
And I can tell you, Christine will want to talk to you.
I will. That's part of the fun part of my job, though, is I get to talk to people. I get to share my enthusiasm about what I love doing. I really love giving tours and showing people the behind the scenes. What's really going on, you know, beyond the lobby where we're helping people with the medical equipment they need, or beyond the scale where we're taking people's electronics in. It's fun to talk about. And I feel like if people want to support us, I encourage you first to come and get to know us. Mm. Because if you're not aligned with what we're doing, then maybe we're not the right fit. But if we are and you like what you hear and you want to see us move forward, then, I mean, that's how I would make my plea for additional funding to finish this capital campaign.
People so often talk about transparency. And that's one thing I always get from talking to you, is that you're so open about, you know, you're not trying to sneak anything past people. And I just think that's so fantastic.
Thank you.
And I just think that, again, I would encourage folks to stop on by. Again, for me, people who are not familiar, best way to, again, where are you located? And again, maybe the website you can check out
as well. Sure. We're at 1106 Fifth Street, which is just north of downtown Wausau by the train tracks. Our website is goodnewswi.com. Our phone number is 843-5985. If you want general information, press 0. If you want to talk to me, press 4.
Christine Daniels, Executive Director, Good News Project. We'll talk to you next month.
All right, sounds good.
More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, it is Wednesday, August the 7th of 2024. Day number 220 of this year. There are 146 days remaining in this year, 2024, and some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On the 7th of August of 1782, George Washington created the Order of the Purple Heart, a decoration to recognize merit in enlisted men and non-commissioned officers. 1997, Garth Brooks played to 750,000 people in Central Park. On this date in 1999, Tampa Bay's Wade Boggs became the first player to homer for his 3,000th hit in Major League Baseball. In 2015, on August the 7th, research said William Shakespeare may have been stoned when writing his famous plays. I don't know how they do this, but says research showed that 4 old pipes found in the garden of Shakespeare's English home contained residues of cannabis. Oh, come on. We're stretching here, people. We're stretching.
Well, I don't know about that. Some of his works are pretty, you know, out there. But I don't think he was, like, on anything.
And
he was
so
writing.
What? If he had a little cannabis, opened up his mind a little bit. So
he just
it.
Had a very interesting imagination.
On this date in 2018, China banned the release of Winnie the Pooh film Christopher Robin because some of the country's citizens were drawing comparisons between Winnie the Pooh and Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
And, I did hear about that.
And on this date 2 years ago in 2022, the last Salem witch's name was cleared. Elizabeth Johnson Jr., a woman convicted of witchcraft during the Salem witch trials in the 1690s, was finally exonerated after years of petitioning by Massachusetts teacher Carrie LaPierre and her eighth grade civic students. And one of the great pieces of work based on the Salem witch trials is the play The Crucible. And I've been in that twice. I got to do it at UW Marathon County when I was in college, and also as part of the Stevens Point Community Theater back in 2007.
So you know the show inside and out.
I know the show inside and out. So those are a few of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Caroline Aaron from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is 72. Wayne Knight, he played Newman on Seinfeld. Wayne Knight is 69. David Duchovny, Fox Mulder on The X-Files, 64 years old today. Actor Maggie Wheeler, plenty of different roles, but perhaps best known for playing Janice on Friends, 63 years old today. Actor Michael Shannon of Boardwalk Empire and The Shape of Water is 50. And the gorgeous actor Charlize Theron, 49 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
Mm-hmm.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Beach Party Day.
Oh, it's a beautiful day for beach party.
It is Lighthouse Day. It is Particularly Preposterous Packaging Day.
It's a lot of alliteration there. Yeah.
It is Professional Speakers Day. And as we mentioned earlier, being the anniversary of George Washington establishing the Purple Heart, it is Purple Heart Day.
Mm.
All right. So it is time.
Yes, and it's very important that I get back on the winning track here.
You 0 for 2 this week?
Yes.
0 for 2 this week. That's not good. So yeah, we got to get you back on the winning track here today. Our number for the day, didn't give you any hints today. I forgot about that. So
that's okay, though.
It's going to be a wide open canvas here for the number for the day.
Okay.
All right. I will tell you, first of all, the subject matter is the George Foreman grill.
Oh, yes.
George Foreman.
Popular item.
Yeah. Perhaps. I mean, do you think George Foreman is better known for the grill or for being a former heavyweight boxing champion?
I think he was known for a wrestler at first before he made the grill.
No, boxer. Right? Boxer. Heavyweight champion. He was the heavyweight champion of the world.
Boxing. I think he was most famous for boxing before he made the grill.
So, yep, but I mean, ultimately, people, they think nowadays, remember him more for the grill or for boxing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe the grill.
This would be an interesting number.
All right. Number for the day. George Foreman's cut from his deal when he sold the George Foreman grill.
Oh.
So, what was George Foreman's cut from his deal for the George? Actually, this was back when it first started. I think that's what it means. But George Foreman's cut from his deal for the George Foreman grill.
All right.
Was it $20.5 million? Was it $40.5 million?
Oh, boy.
Was it $60.5 million? So,
his cut when he made the deal.
Yep, made the deal to establish the George Foreman grill. What was George Foreman's cut? $20.5 million, $40.5 million, or $60.5 million?
Well, it's been A for the last 2 days. However, it could be throwing me off again, but I'm just overthinking it. But, okay, going with my instincts on this one, I'm going to say he got a cut of $40.5 million. I'm going with the middle answer. I'm going with B. It's my final answer.
All right. The cut for George Foreman from his deal for the George Foreman grill was $40.5 million.
Yes.
So you got it right.
Whew.
You're one of three. So you're
I'm so
right.
I wasn't A again.
You're right where you need to be. 33%. That is our cut line. So You have 2 days left. That means if you get one right of the next two, you will have 40% at the worst and be able to win. So,
yes.
Hey, very good. All right.
Very good.
Time to celebrate on this Wednesday.
Yes.
Thanks to our guests today, Brittany Merlot, Avery Edwards of Stable Hands Equine Therapy Center. Also, we had our conversation with Wausau West coach Matt Johnson and Christine Daniels of the Good News Project. Tomorrow, Elsa Duranzo, candidate for the 7th Congressional District. Well, she'll be with us. Ian, have a good rest of your Wednesday.
You too, Chad. Happy hump day, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
We'll catch you tomorrow. Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.